The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane.
It's Tyler, it's 12, Friday at 5 o'clock. I don't get to sit in this chair very often. Rockies are in town, so I'm going to take a personal moment here. My 10-year-old son is on his way to the Rockies game right now with his buddy Drew. It's Drew's birthday. They're going down to the Rockies game to enjoy it, so happy birthday to Drew. I hope they have a good time. Rockies, one game above 500. They've fallen apart here. They lost five out of six on that road trip?
Slowly but surely happening.
Nine out of their last 10 road games they've lost.
Slowly but surely.
They've got the Royals in town this weekend.
You know how I know it's happening? You just told me. But you know how I know that that's slowly but surely happening? You told me your son's on the way to the ballpark right now, yeah. And I didn't know who they were playing. That's how I know that it's happening.
Exactly.
Because I've been paying attention. I was watching the games. I was staying in it. And I still am to a degree. I'm watching the games more often than I usually would. If I'm home and there's a Rockies game on, I got nothing to do. I'm watching it, okay? Because they're relevant enough to keep it interesting. But I'm no longer tracking it day to day like I was for a few weeks there.
I'm 100% with you. And when you lose 9 out of 10 road games and you fall to where you're only one game above 500, that's just what's going to happen. So they're 16-15. They've got 3 games against the Royals. The Royals are terrible. They're 10-19. Tonight, it's Kyle Freeland against Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke's a name that sounds good, but he's not the Zach Greinke of old. Pretty good pitching matchup, though. Kyle Freeland versus Zach Greinke. Can the Rockies win 2 of the 3 to stay above 500? Because if they lose 2 of the 3, they'll be right at 500. If they get swept, they're below it. You and D-Mac come in here on Monday.
Yeah.
And are the Rockies still above 500 after the weekend?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'm going to say they will be. There's still something about playing at home at Coors Field. It's weird when the Rockies go on the road and they have success, but I always assume that at home the Rockies will win the majority of their games. And when I say the majority, I guess I mean like if it was 4 games, they're going to win 3. I think that that's about the trajectory that they should stay on all year long. And quite frankly, James, that's an insane success. If you get to June and we're playing relevant baseball, and it's not even like, hey, we're not going to win. We're not beating the Dodgers. We're not getting first place here. But I do think that the Rockies could have an outside chance of being a wild card team if they were to stay relevant, and that would be an insanely successful year.
I think if they get to, I'm with you on that. If they get to that, it'll be an insanely successful year. They've got Freeland tonight, Marquez tomorrow, and then Gomer on Sunday. So decent in terms of how it lines up for the who's pitching for them to stay above 500. I kind of look at it, and there's like benchmarks along the way, right? So can they get to Memorial Day? It's 2 weeks. Memorial Day weekend is in 2 weeks. Can they get to Memorial Day and still be above 500? I think that would be a win.
Oof.
Then it's sort of, okay, can you get to the All-Star break?
See, would you ask me a little bit further down the road, will they still be above 500? I get a little bit more doubtful.
Well,
right?
Especially when they're only one game above 500 now, right? Yeah. So then it's, can they get to the All-Star break? That's, you know, roughly the 10th of July. I don't know the exact date, but thereabouts. Okay, well, I think that's a bigger stretch. Then it's, can they get to Broncos training camp / the trade deadline? If they're near 500 or above 500 at the trade deadline, and we're looking at it saying, hey, they're in the race for a wild card, I don't know that they make any moves, but if they're even in the conversation, and we're even having the discussion and the debate of should they do something, at that point in the year, given the expectations going in where most people thought, hey, they're going to be lucky not to lose 100 games, that would be a tremendous success. So the fact that they got this far, they were only above 500 last year, I believe, one day. It was April 1st. It was opening day. That was it.
Yeah.
It's May 13th. They're above 500.
Call that success.
Success, right? It's baby steps, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
So that's going on this weekend. That certainly will be something to keep an eye on. Hopefully the Rockies can get back on track. They tend to do it when they get home. Looking back at the schedule, that was the big news, or what was expected to be the big news yesterday. I think things shape up pretty well for the Broncos. I think they get some breaks here. I think the fact that they get the Colts at home on a Thursday night, that's a good draw for a team that I think is going to be good. Would have been an opponent that would have been a coin flip for me. Which games, as you look at the schedule, though, do you say those are must wins? If you lose that game, you're looking at an uphill battle to try to get into the playoffs, to compete for the AFC West. What are those games that, man, you just cannot afford to lose those?
I like it. Okay. I will start with the AFC West.
Thanks to our listeners in Wheat Ridge for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day.
I'll start with the AFC West. You got to split with everybody. Or you got to find a way to sweep at least the Raiders or the Chargers if you're not going to split to even be in the hunt.
So 3-3 in the division, bare minimum. Doesn't really matter how you get to it.
Yep.
I guess. Although if you get swept by a team that's above you, maybe it's going to be hard to catch them. But okay, you got to go 3-3.
It really doesn't matter how they get there. Now, my standard this year is not to win the AFC West. So I'm not going to say the Chiefs are must wins. They would be great. That would be fun. It would certainly give you some hope and some optimism, and maybe they would even win the AFC West if you could win at least one against the Chiefs. But I'm not going to call those must wins. I'm trying to make the playoffs this year and be relevant. In the early part of the season,
is Seattle Week One a must win?
Yeah, probably not because of implications on the season. It's a must win because of the trade. It's just a must win. You cannot have that bad juju.
That is a high pressure opener for Nathaniel Hackett.
For Russell Wilson. Forget Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, the pressure is on Russell. It's really not on Nathaniel Hackett. It's on Russell Wilson.
Super Bowls, like,
I don't care. Dude, he's going back to his old stadium. That's his home turf. That his first game ever is in Seattle. He will be judged on that game. And the Seattle Seahawks, that will be their Super Bowl. You've mentioned it.
Yeah.
They're certainly going to be.
Well, I think they're going to lose it.
They're certainly going to be tough. But just from an optic standpoint, I would call that game a must win. Sure.
Yeah, and I think it's the worst possible time to have that game. I think if it happens anywhere else in the year, as the season goes on, the chances of Broncos winning gets higher and higher and higher. I think it's a coin flip game in Week One. I'm picking the Seahawks at least as of May 13th to win that game. Again, I've got them going 11-6. So before the text line starts blowing up and telling me what an idiot I am because I'm picking the Seahawks in Week One,
yeah.
You've got them 10-7. I think they're winning that. I think Week Two is a must win. You have to beat the Houston Texans at home in the home opener with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to even call that a must win, though, because that's just like, that's an assumption to me.
But games, if they lose them, these are the games that if they lose it, their season, it's such an uphill battle to get into the playoffs. If you lose to the Texans in Week Two, that means you got to do something like win at Kansas City to make up for it.
Yeah. I would think of road games. It's an old saying in the NFL. It's absolutely true. If you want to be a playoff team, you got to win at home. You got to split on the road. So you should win all of your home games, all of them. If you're going to be a playoff team, win them all. Now, that's not going to be realistic. You'll probably drop one, maybe even two at some point across the season, and that means you got to make it up on the road. So I would look at the road games, and the first road game that I would say would be a must win would be that first game against the Chargers on the road. It's a divisional game. It's a team that you're relatively comparable to. I mean, I don't think the Raiders is that – well, maybe that's actually – what's a tougher road game? Let me think about that one for a second.
See, I don't think either one of them is tough. Going back to our Bucky Brooks conversation.
I'm just talking about environment. I think the Raiders will be a tougher environment, but will it? See, we don't really know. Last year, the Broncos played the Raiders on day after Christmas, and I don't think that was a proper example of the amount of Broncos fans that are typically going to be at a Raiders game.
October 2nd, it's still pool weather in Vegas. There's going to be a ton of Broncos fans making that trip.
Yes. Yes.
Without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
Right? In Saturday, you can still...
So I don't think either one of those are that intimidating.
Watch the college games, get a little action in on them. Like, that's a good time to go to Vegas for the Broncos game. That will be the first opportunity for Broncos country to really travel where it's not the day after Christmas, and then it was a COVID year. So, right, this is the first time to show what they can do.
All right, I'll give you one. It's going to sound silly. It's going to sound dumb because I said I'm making an assumption that we're going to beat the Houston Texans. I'll give you one that's a must win that feels like an assumption, the Jags out in London. totally
agree.
Have to find a way to win that game, and crazy things can happen. That's why I hate London. I hate it.
I hate the fact that the Jacksonville game is in London. It makes that a coin flip game again to me.
I hate everything about London. Not London, not the city. I hate everything about the game. I don't think anybody benefits from it except for the NFL. They make money. Players certainly do not benefit from it. Number one, you got to leave your family for an extended period. It's not fun. Number two, your body clock's going to get all out of whack. You got to go halfway across the world, or at least across the pond, and you got to get in different time zone. You got to adjust to all that. Number three, from a viewing experience, it does nothing for me as a fan. Matter of fact, it takes away from my pleasure. I don't want to get up at 7:30 in the morning to have to watch the game. And as I watch the game, guess what? I'm probably not going to feel as passionate about the game watching it at 7:30 as I would at 7:30 at night, right? So nothing about the London game I like. I'm not like one of those guys that's excited about London. No, I hate it. And matter of fact, I hate it so much because it could create something dumb like you losing to the Jags simply because you got out of your routine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think if they were just playing at Jacksonville on October 30th, we would put a W next to that and feel
no question
100% good about it. Right? I mean, they won last year in Jacksonville, and it was Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater. This year, it's Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. I'm confident that even though it's a new regime in Jacksonville, that's a win. And maybe it's not quite a coin flip, but the Jags go there every year. They're behind the scenes. People have the routine down. They know how to do it. They know how to make London work. For whatever reason, they tend to play better there. It's kind of like the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, right? Like, the Lions can stink. They tend to play good on Thanksgiving because they're used to it.
No, they need to never play on Thanksgiving ever again. Ever.
The Lions?
Yes. End it. Done. Never, ever again. You've
You're not
lost
a traditionalist?
The right. I am, actually. I am a traditionalist, but at some point, you got to end the tradition when the tradition sucks. They suck. This is the first... Oh, is this the first time in history? I think it might be. The Lions have zero primetime games. And you know, it's a given that you're going to get a Thursday night game. They don't have a Thursday night game. Is this the first time in history that a team hasn't had a primetime game?
I don't know, but I assume they don't get a Thursday night game because they play Thursday Thanksgiving Day, so that's their Thursday game.
Yeah.
That would be my guess as to why. I can't really argue. I tend to be a traditionalist, but this seems like you're doing it just for tradition's sake.
No,
right?
Give me something good that I want to watch.
But if you're going to blow it up completely. I don't need to see the Cowboys every year either. I don't. I'm over the Cowboys. Would the Cowboys get crammed down our throat? So do the Giants and the Eagles and the Commanders.
At least the Cowboys are interesting. I mean, they've always got storylines. Jerry Jones himself, he's interesting. I'm not saying that they're worthy of being America's team. They're not. They haven't been for a long time. But they've got compelling storylines coming out of Dallas.
The Lions game, though, it's mimosa time. You just turn on the TV, you check it out.
Do you like the London situation, though?
No,
like,
I hate it. I think it's one of those things of you're trying to expand the game, and it's to the detriment of what makes the sport great.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
I think that you hit the nail on the head. It benefits the league because they're making more money and they're expanding into other markets, but I think it feels like you're trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
It feels inevitable that you're going to have a team in London. I don't know that you could stop that train. That train is on the tracks, and I don't think you could stop that train. But I hate the idea of it. The NFL is the best sporting league in the entire world because of the parity. That's
correct.
What makes it so great. It's not, I mean, yeah, the sport's great. We all love the sport, but it truly is any given Sunday. And the Jags can beat the Denver Broncos. If you put a team out in London, they will be garbage. They will be terrible. Their whole season will be interrupted with time and, just time zones, the adjustment, disruptions to your routine, new living environments, all of it. It would be a terrible football team that nobody's going to want to play for. I mean, you want to talk about, you got to pay me more. You got to pay me more. Now, London's a cool city. I get it. There's a lot of people that would love to go live in London just to experience for a year or two. But if you're talking about as a football player, that would have to be my only option, or they would have to pay me so much more money that it's not even close.
Will there be a team in London someday? I would say yes. I don't think it's going to be a standalone team, though.
Yeah, it's got to be like three, right?
I think they're going to put a whole division in Europe. I think there's a reason we're seeing games in Munich and other places this year, because then you could just play. All right, you play within your division. There's 6-year games. You don't have to travel, go over the pond, come over here, and then you come over and play 3-game sets that would make sense. Your way through it.
That would make it better.
And
that,
then teams
that would
have
make
to
it
come
better
to you, right? So you would end up playing. You'd play your six divisional games plus your other five home games at home. So that's 11 games you would play in Europe.
Yeah.
So you'd have to come over here for 2 3-game road trips.
I think if you do it, that's the way you would have to do it in order to just keep the sanity of the players and the coaches and to keep the parity of the league. You would have to have a whole division. That's a good point. Do a whole division if you're going to do it. That's tough, though. I mean, you know what? That's a huge expansion all at one time.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically going to 36, and it's a whole different deal.
Just draft the whole USFL.
I do think you're having, yeah, it's exactly. It's a lot of extra jobs.
Right.
It's a lot more money. It's 4 more markets, but you have an entire European division. I think that's the only way it can work. So, okay, so in terms of games you have to win, Houston, the Jets have to be on that list. The Jets at home, you have to win.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, even though it's in London, you have to win it. I think you move ahead to week 12, Tyler. I know it's on the road. But Carolina's bad.
They're bad.
You got to go to Carolina on Thanksgiving weekend and get a win.
Yeah, you got to circle the road games that are winnable, and you got to win all the road games that are winnable because you got to split them, right? So you got to win at least half your games on the road. You got to win the games that you're supposed to win on the road. Otherwise, you got to upset somebody, and that's hard to do. I don't really, you know, winnable or the must wins. To me, that's a tough conversation right now because that depends on how things develop. It depends on how other teams are doing. It just depends on a lot. It's hard for me to do must wins. I think of it more in terms of what could change the season into something I don't think it's going to be. When I think of the Denver Broncos right now, I think of a wild card team. I think they're a playoff team. I think that they are going to sneak into the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen once you sneak into the playoffs, but that's about it. I don't expect the Denver Broncos to be the best team in the NFL. I don't expect them to be the best team in the AFC West. But if they were to be the best team in the AFC West, if they were to be a number one seed in the NFL, there's turning point games to me. And those turning point games, I could identify those very easily. I've got three of them, matter of fact. The 49ers is a huge game at home. You got to win that one early in the season. If you win that one, I got the Broncos 3-0. Then I got them beating the Raiders on the road. I got them 4-0. That's a hell of a start to the season, James. Then I would circle that Titans game about halfway into the season on the road.
Yep, week 10.
That's a game that I've got an expectation of a loss. It's a tough place to go. It's a good football team. The Broncos are probably not quite ready for it. But if you win that, all of a sudden you are in the driver's seat headed into the Chiefs matchup because you got the Chiefs twice late in the season. Those would be the two most important pivotal turning point games for me early on in the season.
And then later in the year, your third one was Baltimore.
Yes, yeah,
because that's a game you don't expect them to win.
Exactly.
Right? So it to me, these games, though, or if you look at it and say, okay, it's a 10-7 team. If you go 3-0 in the games you're talking about, well, now you're doing something special. You're 12-5, you're 13-4, right? But those other games on the other side of it, if you lose them, those are the games that make you 7-10.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the games that make it a disaster if you lose to Houston, the Jets, Jacksonville, Carolina, games that just, you know, again, there's no layups in the NFL, but they're games that if you lose those games, you got to make up for them by going into LA and winning on Christmas Day against the Rams.
Right.
Or you got to go on New Year's Day and win at Kansas City to make up for a bad loss. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at 7-10, 8-9, those kind of things. Real quick, and I wrote this story yesterday at DenverFan.com, the 5 best road trips. I want to hear which one you like the best, okay? This isn't the order I put them in. I'll just go through the schedule
and
tell you what they were. You tell me what you think of them.
Are you just saying, like, as a fan, the most enjoyable road trips?
Well, there's a couple things that go into it. One, I try to put it with another sporting event. Right. So you got to make it to where, hey, you got to make it a football filled weekend,
okay. Mostly
football. You'll understand what I'm saying here in a second, but couple something else with it. Plus the town you're going to, who you get to see, all that kind of thing. So I think week one, pretty good. Right. You could go to University of Washington has a home game that Saturday. It's Portland State. It's an early season college football game. But Husky Stadium right there on the water.
It's cool.
Cool.
It's
to
really
see,
cool.
Right.
Yep.
So that would be cool. And then you go to Broncos Seahawks Monday night.
Yep.
So you got Sunday all day to enjoy in Seattle. Fun town.
Guess what? I'm going. We bought our tickets last night. We already got it planned. We bought the plane flights.
Perfect.
We're in. I'm taking the whole family. I'm going.
So I think that's a great road trip. I think October 2nd in Vegas, first opportunity to really go see the Broncos in Vegas against the Raiders. If you want to put in another game, New Mexico and UNLV play that week, but you can skip it and just go to the book.
You can go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want
to... I'm not going to a UNLV game, James.
I know, but you had to have another game.
But I promise you, there's things I could find to enjoy in Vegas.
Sure. So there's that one. Then you got the trip to London. If you want to go big,
yeah,
it's October 30th. And then 4 days later, you got the Avs and the Blue Jackets in Finland, back-to-back days on November 4th and 5th. Go to Europe, make a week of it, see three games, see the Avs, see the Broncos. That's the high roller trip.
Right.
But that's a pretty cool trip.
Okay. All right.
All right. Then you go down. Now, this one's tough because of where it fell. But they're at Carolina on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. You could go Friday, see NC State at North Carolina. Saturday, South Carolina at Clemson. Sunday, Broncos Panthers.
Oh, forget that one.
That's a pretty good football.
No, I've got no interest in that one.
You don't
want
to go to Death Valley?
No. Well, no. I mean, sure, maybe, I guess. But I mean, I'm mainly thinking about the NFL team. I'm thinking about the game. The reason why you're going out there. I've got no interest in going to that. That stadium, by the way, it's not cool. It's not fun. There's nothing exciting about it. I've been there a million different times.
Charlotte doesn't get you excited.
It's not that fun. No, Charlotte's a cool town.
All right.
It's really cool town, but it's got to be. It's got to be a premier matchup in order for me to spend my money to go on the road.
Okay, I think this one qualifies, and I skipped it accidentally here. But yeah, you got a little driving you got to do. But on Saturday, you get to go watch Missouri play the Volunteers in Knoxville. Hey, it's Tennessee. It's a cool place. It's one of the top 20 locales in college football.
If you're just talking about game day experience, maybe.
You could also see Florida Vanderbilt, but who wants to go see that? And then you get to see Broncos, Titans in Tennessee on November 13th, and it's in Nashville.
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
That's the winner.
I would love to go to Nashville. You know, my sister went to Vanderbilt, actually. And so I've been out to Nashville a bunch of times when she was going to school there, but I was young. I was too young to enjoy it. I've never been to Nashville since I've been 21. I've never been to Nashville since I've been able to enjoy the entire party scene that's going on out there.
Yeah.
I would love to go on that one. All I know is that Sean Brennan better be working. You know, Sean Brennan, he's head of sales over here at the Fan. Sean better be working because we got some trips now. Number one, I think the station should be out there in Seattle. The station has to be in London.
It's a Monday night game. Yeah, we could do shows from there leading up to it.
Has to be in London.
You guys
are you
could
kidding
take us
me?
Up to kickoff.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, not me. I mean, I'm going to be enjoying stuff. So, you know, like...
D-Mac can go solo taking us up to kickoff.
Yeah, send somebody else out there to do the pregame show, okay? But I'm going to be enjoying stuff out there. The London game, we've got to have people at. And then I feel like Vegas, that's just got to be a yearly thing. Like 104.3 The Fan, we need to have a fan-sponsored event that we should charter a plane. We should charter a plane that fans could sign up to get on a plane and go with us out to Vegas every single year. I think that would be awesome.
You know, we got friends at Superbook.
I mean,
Sean, I'm a part of this.
Sure.
Put it together.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, Sean, I'm giving you goals here, all right? Let's go.
We could host a big event on Saturday watching all the college football games.
Yes.
And then we go to the Bronco game on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. I like this on-the-air brainstorm that we've just put together where we've given everybody but ourselves a bunch of work.
Yeah.
And we just, and I'm just jumping on board.
Have I put myself in a complicated situation on the Seattle trip? Like, is there now an expectation that I'm going to be doing extra work on game day out there?
I mean, if you're there, I would think you guys would be leading up to kickoff. I'll tell you what, though. I will volunteer.
I think I'm going to have to do that.
I like jumping in and helping out and filling in. I like to think of myself as kind of that utility guy down in the bullpen.
Okay.
So I'm happy to do it.
All right.
You got obligations. You got friends and former teammates and things like that out there. I'll step in and
on the sideline and stuff. I gotta go do Stokely things.
Hey, you gotta go be a celebrity. You gotta go be a former Seahawk. I get it. I understand that.
Slight, teeny tiny, not a celebrity at all. But I gotta go hang out with cool people.
Well, you're gonna be more of a celebrity than D-Mac would be or I would be in
there
Seattle.
I
don't even think that is it is close. All right, it is time to send in your questions, 303-713-1043. You provide the questions. Tyler provides the answer. Mount Plumbus Speak coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
All right, Tyler, we got a lot of great questions, but this one came from Adam in Bullhead, Arizona. I'm guessing that's Bullhead City. Right across the Colorado River from Laughlin.
Excuse me. Wow, you really know this region, huh?
I like to, you know, consider myself a little bit of a geography
buff. All right.
So Adam in Bullhead, Arizona said, Mount Palumbus, what is your opinion of Shelby Harris' reaction to finding out the Broncos did not retire his number? Now, just to give you a little background on
this. Is this a serious question?
It's a serious question. Now, I think Adam's a little off. I don't think Shelby Harris was upset that they didn't retire his number, but Zach Stevens from DNVR a couple of days ago tweeted out the Broncos rookie numbers, right? The press release came out, the team released what everybody was going to get. Nick Benito is 42, Greg Dulcich is 80, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Owuzurike is getting number 96.
Good.
Now that Shelby Harris is in Seattle, to which Shelby Harris responded to Zach Stevens' tweet with, "Crazy, man." Okay, so he wasn't real happy about it. Somebody replied to it, which I'm blocked by that person, so I can't see what the reply was.
Dude, hold on. Now you got me interested. I mean, I don't even care what the point of the story is now. I mean, there's a few people I could guess that you're talking about when you say they've got you blocked, but do you think that this is just a random, stranger?
Yeah, I think it's just a random stranger replied to Shelby Harris saying, "Crazy man." Just a random Bronco saying, "Really? You're upset about this? Like,
wow.
You were only here for a couple of years." Shelby
yep,
then jumps in.
Block you, huh?
"Man, you are obviously full of blank, and that's fine. It's easy after the fact to say I wasn't important. I won games for y'all, and it's fine to hate all you want, but I'm more than that, and you can debate all you want, but I'm here and will be number 96. Okay.
Wow.
Well, it's Mount Palumbus speak, so I want to hear your take first on Shelby Harris and being upset that the Broncos, the year after he's gone, have given number 96 to a rookie.
Mount Palumbus, speak!
First off, the Seattle Seahawks have not retired the number 3 yet, okay? Drew Lock, in theory, could have chosen to wear number 3 out there in Seattle. Now, he's a smart man, and he decided not to try to replicate Russell Wilson and wear that. But Russell Wilson, a Hall of Famer, the best quarterback in the history of the Seattle Seahawks franchise, does not have his number retired just yet. To think that Shelby Harris's number would be retired, I would like to think that Shelby Harris was being facetious about that. Matter of fact, I do think Shelby Harris was being facetious about the number literally being retired. No. I mean, come on. That's absolutely insane. Shelby's an interesting guy, though, because he was insanely effective for the skill set that he had. And he did a great job for the Denver Broncos. Shelby Harris was a big part of the Broncos' defensive success over the last few years. But hey, man, did Shelby Harris take us to a Super Bowl or something? Did Shelby Harris take us to an AFC West championship or something? Did Shelby Harris set a sack record or something? I don't know. Shelby Harris might have set a record for the most batted balls in the history of the franchise.
Right.
And I'm not knocking that at all.
It's an expensive skill set.
It is a very expensive skill set, but it's a good skill set. It's a skill set that is a very effective weapon at stopping an offense. If you can't throw the ball, you certainly can't complete a pass. I like Shelby Harris. I'm a fan of Shelby Harris. Think he's a really good football player. I think it's a little bit crazy if Shelby's not having a little bit of fun with that, and I'm not sure if he was having a little bit of fun with it or not. If he's not having a little bit of fun with that, he's definitely overestimating his impact on this franchise.
Yeah, I don't think he thought his number should be retired. I think it's disrespect. He thinks it's disrespectful that they gave it out the next year.
Oh, well, that's insane.
Right?
James, that's insane.
I would agree.
Every number gets passed out the next year.
Terrell Davis's number isn't retired.
Yes.
Right? Caden Stearns is wearing number 30.
Yes.
Now, there were a couple of seasons where they didn't give anybody number 30. Similar to, I believe they did the same thing, this is going back 20 years, with Shannon Sharp. It was a while before anybody wore number 84, but they didn't retire those two numbers. Those two guys are in the Hall of Fame. Those two guys helped the Broncos win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this simple. There are a lot of situations that pop up that you respectfully do not pass out a number within a year or two. And that's about where it ends, even for the all-time greats. But you have to be in two different categories, one of two categories. You have to be a member of a Super Bowl team, or you have to be a Hall of Fame player. That's it. That's it. I mean, outside of that, numbers just move on, and it's on to the next guy. And honestly, it's hard even for Super Bowl players to have their numbers not passed out to the next guy. And I'm not just saying any Super Bowl player. I'm saying a star of a Super Bowl team. But if you're on a team that your era that you were there, the team sucked, nobody has the right to have that number reserved.
Yeah, the only guys who have their number reserved in that way are guys who are eventually going to end up on the facade at Empower Field.
Yes.
Right? So that's Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp, Steve Atwater. You know, they could have put the number 27 on the shelf for a while. That would have been fine with me.
Champ Bailey.
Exactly. Shelby Harris is so far, with all due respect, so far from being someone who would be in that conversation, it's laughable. And he's just a guy, though, man. During his time here, too, he would go on Twitter and get into it with Broncos fans a lot after games and chirp at him when the Broncos would lose and fans would be upset. You hate to say it because he seems like a nice guy and he was, you know, the media loved him because he was funny at press conferences. But when you're talking about the change of culture that needs to happen at Dove Valley, I don't think having Shelby Harris in Seattle is a bad thing overall for the Broncos.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know that Shelby Harris was a problem. I don't think that he is a somebody that was going to be a problem for a new culture, a new regime, any of that. I think Shelby Harris was a good football player. I'd prefer that Shelby Harris was on my team, but Shelby Harris is not the type of player that it's irreplaceable. No, you could replace that skill set. You can.
Yeah, I mean, he got a 3-year, $27 million deal. And we can come up with a couple of plays he made during his career here, and they
right.
were, every time it was a batted ball.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah.
a skill set that usually means you're not getting close enough
and
to
the quarterback. And some blocked field goals.
Yeah, okay. And he did those things, but is that irreplaceable? No, not at all. So great question from Adam in Bullhead. We believe Bullhead City, Arizona. I just find it fascinating that Adam's checking us out down there right across the river from Laughlin.
I love it. Yeah, that's a good way to show off your Arizona knowledge there, James.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, Mount Palumbus Speak is presented by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. All right, it is time to put a cap on the week. I got to respond to some of the texts now that they've allowed me to look at the text line. That is that's a scary proposition. And Tyler will hand out game balls. All that coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and DMACC on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Tyler, before we get out of here, I got to set the record straight on a couple of things.
Oh, Lord. This could go on all day. This is the last segment here, buddy.
There's a reason why they don't give me access to the text line. I had to look at it for Mount Palumbus Speak.
Right, right.
This isn't good for someone's, you know.
You know what? You've only had 30 or 40 angry texts today.
But this one comes from Twitter. Let the record show James Merrillett just dubbed Week 2 versus the Houston Texans a must-win game.
Oh, you did do that. Yep.
Well, no. Here's the thing.
No, you can't walk that back.
Yes, I'm going to.
No, you cannot walk that back.
Here
because
was the segment.
You did it, and if you need me to actually go out and find the audio, I'll make Kevin cut the audio. You did that. You called Houston a must-win game.
Well, you called Seattle a must-win game.
Yeah,
because
for the trade.
Because the premise the premise of the exercise was, hey, when you go through the schedule, what are the games that have to be wins? That if you don't win these games, it's going to be difficult to make the playoffs. If you don't beat Houston,
if you don't
beat the Jets,
if that's the premise of
Carolina,
if that's the premise of must win, then I can find 10 of them. Literally. I mean, minimum, you need to win 10 games. So if you want to make the playoffs, you have to win 10 games. If that's the definition, then give me at least 10.
There's 17 games on this schedule.
Okay.
There's 4 or 5 that you should
write. How many you got to win to go to the playoffs?
You should write the W on there in pen. Then there's...
Yeah, you know who's one of those? Houston.
Right. That was my point. And then there's probably 3 or 4 that you could go ahead and write the L in pen. And then the rest of them, flip a coin and write the answer in pencil.
You don't get
That's
to call,
how it works.
You don't get to call Houston a must-win game.
Yes.
Seattle, and for the record, you are twisting my words on
That's
Seattle.
That's what you said.
No, you're twisting my words because I went out of my way to emphasize that it has nothing to do with the season. I said you don't have to win the game against Seattle to have any impact on the success of your season. But if you're talking about just in terms of the trade and the overall vibe of the excitement that goes down, hey, man, that would be a major buzzkill. Okay. If Russell Wilson goes out there specifically, if he loses to Drew Lock, that would not feel good.
No, not by any means. But you telling me you think if they lose to the Texans in Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson's home opener, they're going to make the playoffs? Of course they're not.
They could. They could. Yeah. In matter of fact, I could argue that one for sure. It's the second week of the season. James.
Okay, so
Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, how many games have they played together before the Houston game?
You got to beat the Rams on Christmas
Day. How many games have they played before the Houston game?
You got to beat the Chiefs on New Year's Day.
The answer is one.
You got to make up for it. If you can't beat Davis Mills, come on.
Okay, I'm assuming they're going to beat
the
Texans
now. Lovie Smith.
But James, when who's walking in here right now? When you've got one game done before you play the Houston Texans, that means that stuff could go wrong. Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, they haven't vibed yet. They haven't gotten stuff together. They haven't gone through it all. I mean, insane things could happen. You could go out to London. You could lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's look at it this way. Look at all 17 games. Pick the game that if the Broncos lose it, it'll cause the most reaction in this town. People will freak out. What's the number one game at the top of that list?
Seattle.
No. It's a road game. It's in Seattle. That's a tough place to play.
Seattle.
Yeah, it's Drew Lock. But
I mean, if you're just asking me what would be the worst loss,
it would be Houston.
Jacksonville's pretty high on that list.
London.
Okay, fine. It's probably Houston. That would probably be the worst loss on the Jets. Jets.
That's in the conversation. That's also one of my must wins.
There's 3 games that I would put in that category. I'd put the Jags, I would put the Jets, and I'd put Houston.
And I think you can make an argument for at Carolina. I think they're going to stink.
Yes.
If you don't win those 4 games, it's going to be difficult to make the postseason. That was my point. That was the whole point of the exercise.
Okay.
It was misconstrued and twisted around so somebody could, be rude.
Okay.
Set the record straight.
All right. You didn't set the record straight. You said something else crazy. I was trying to circle back on it too. Anything else you guys want to yell at James about? If he's not looking at the text line, I'll look at it for him.
I think that's 100% true that if they lose to the Texans, good luck.
Here's the other one. I don't care whatever you say. You now have officially predicted a loss against the Seattle Seahawks.
Correct.
You have told us that you are rooting for the Broncos, but I don't care what you say. I do not believe you.
You're
absolutely rooting against the Broncos. You 100% have gotten an agenda in that game.
Nope.
You absolutely will never let go of the Drew Lock thing. And everybody and their mother is Teflon so-and-so except for Drew Lock to you.
Not true.
Don't criticize Drew Lock. Don't do that. You are actively going to be rooting against the Broncos with Drew Lock.
You're being inaccurate. After the Bengals game, I ripped him for the fumble. Because he deserved to be ripped for that.
You also said that he balled out.
He played better than the other quarterback. He played better than Teddy Bridgewater. I would rather have a quarterback that got you into the red zone and fumbled than one who didn't even get you close to the red zone.
Right.
That to me is being fair.
By the way.
But if you're fair to Drew.
At what point are you going to buy me the coffee on the Jared Bednar bet? Because we've got a coffee bet on that James will not be able to call for Jared Bednar's job.
He won't be able
to do that with honesty, at least.
If the Avs don't win the cup, will I or will I not call for Jared Bednar's job? And I said I wouldn't, and you said I would, right? That's the bet.
No, you said you would be calling for his job if he lost in this round or the next round.
100%. That is correct.
If they lose
in this round or next job, Jared Bednar should be gone.
Maybe this round you could have that conversation. I even think that would be insane. But if they lost in the next round, You can't call for Jared Bednar's job, James. You're out of your mind.
We did 8 hours of radio together in the last 2 days, Tyler, and that was those were the only crazy things I said. In your mind, I did pretty good. I'm gonna chalk that up as a win.
Hey, it was a fun week. There was a lot going on. I love the schedule release. It's fun, man. Everybody that tells you you're crazy. You think that they're going to lose to the Colts. You think that they're going to beat so-and-so. Everybody's got their own opinions. I got the Broncos as a playoff team. I feel like that's success. I got them as a 10-win team. Some people saying that's not enough. The people saying that's not enough, I say, okay, put your name on every single game and let's see what you come out at. If you come out at 12 or more, I think you're being crazy for year one. That being said, Broncos do dominate in some areas. One area that they do dominate in, James, they're crushing it with their social media department. They're absolutely crushing it.
No doubt.
They're behind the scenes that they're given on the Broncos and their access, everything that's going on there. They've done a tremendous job for a long time. They won the Webby last year for the Peyton Manning intern schedule release video that they put out. They put out a video that is absolutely must-watch. You got to go out of your way. Go find it. Go to the Denver Broncos Twitter account, Instagram account. It's all over the place. And watch the schedule release video that they put out. They have Russell Wilson and Peyton Manning in there. Peyton Manning's passing off the internship to Russell Wilson. And then they got the best ever walk-off from a guy that I did not expect to be the walk-off. They had this as the walk-off.
I got it right here. Let's ride!
Now, doesn't sound like much when you hear the audio, but when you watch it visually, seeing John Elway get on that scooter, holding the schedule, riding off and fumbling it and dropping it onto the ground and getting the schedule released, it's phenomenal. Broncos social media department or whoever's in charge of all that, you guys get my game ball today. That was phenomenal. I hope you guys win an award again for that. James, I appreciate the week. It was fun. Everybody, keep D-Mac in your thoughts and prayers. It's been a tough week for D-Mac. So a lot going on with his family right now. I think we're going to get D-Mac back on Monday. But everybody think about D-Mac. He's a great friend. He's a great guy. And he's got some tough stuff going on right now. We got Nick and Cecil coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.